If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Next Pats podcast. I'm Phil Perry. We have a very, very exciting episode for you this week because we've got another big-time college football game on the way. National championship. You might have heard of it. Alabama, Georgia. And so who can we bring in to break down the prospects that we should be eyeing very, very closely from a Patriots perspective in this game? You happen to find yourself on the couch for that one, as you should. We got our guy, Mike Rodak, AL.com, covers Alabama. He is on that Alabama beat. Nobody follows them more closely. Nobody has a better understanding of both the Alabama program and the Patriots program because of Rodak's experience covering the Patriots. You remember him from his days at ESPN Boston. He also covered the Bills for ESPN. Now he's down south. He's covering Bama. He understands this Georgia roster as well. So we're going to throw a bunch of names at you today, different from the names. A lot of them different from the names we heard with Jordan Reed last week. So between the last two podcasts that we've got here on Next Pats, we've just got a boatload of names for you. You should be writing them all down. Get your legal pads out. Get your legal pads out. I said it. Write them down. And as the game is going on, just try to track them. See who you like. See who you don't. It's going to give you a nice head start as we head into draft season as to which players you like, which ones you don't, which ones the Patriots might be picking. So without further ado, let's get right to our conversation with our guy, Mike Rodak. All right. Very happy to have with us now, Alabama expert. Perfect time to bring this guy in. Mike Rodak. AL.com. Rodak, you will remember, dear listeners, you will remember that Mike Rodak is the one who told you first here that Mac Jones was a great fit for the New England Patriots and that he probably would end up a better pro than Tua Tagovailoa. Rodak, check and check. Congratulations. Take a bow, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's would Mac Jones be like this in every system? I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if he has the physical skills to be what Mahomes is in Kansas City or what Rodgers is in Green Bay. But in this Patriots system, I thought he was a really good fit. And it seems like that's kind of where it's at. I mean, there's still, I'd say, questions like long term, like is everything going to get to the level that we think it is with Mac? But so far, so good, I would say, with a few speed bumps along the way.
Now, do people in Alabama care about this weekend's matchup between the Patriots and Dolphins? Because obviously there's a pretty big game coming up for the Crimson Tide. So I can imagine that's getting most of the talk, but do people care about how these guys develop and how their careers play out in the NFL?
They definitely do. I'd say less than the first meeting, which I think was what, the first weekend?
It was. Yeah.
Week one. Definitely a lot of talk about that one around here. Probably less so, but this one, because like you said, we're kind of in the middle of the playoff and there's, you know, basketball season here and just a lot more happening. So not as much, but I'd say in general, yeah. I mean, people in Alabama, people in the South generally don't care about the NFL. And that, me coming from New England and having lived in Buffalo, that's completely flipped. Like, people up there don't care about college. But down here, I mean, nobody cares. Like, who's winning the Super Bowl, like what's happening. The only thing they really care about is how are their guys doing. And in Alabama, it's obviously a point of pride that they have, I think it was like 70 guys on opening day rosters this year. And whenever there's a touchdown streak right now that they have, it's X number of weeks, it's 50, 60 weeks straight that an Alabama player scored a touchdown in the NFL. So it's things like that, that they care about.
I love it. I just think it's just so interesting to be an Alabama fan or an SEC fan, which a lot of people of course are, just not necessarily up this way. You know, half the league as soon as those guys get drafted, you know, and this college football playoff this year and the college football playoff has really, I think, shined a light on that fact that the SEC is just playing in a different world compared to everybody else. And so we have these two teams, Alabama, Georgia. You will be at the game, national championship game between the team that you cover on a daily basis, Nick Saban's group, and a great, great Georgia team, a great, great Georgia defense this year. So with this game coming up, we figured, hey, hell of a time to bring Rodak on. But of course, here on this podcast, we're thinking about what's next. We, you know, we're going to be interested in the game itself, but it's really the specific players and who they might be at the next level. And might they get interest from the team that we're looking at here, the New England Patriots. So of course, Alabama every single week is going to be in that conversation. We had Jordan Reed from ESPN on last week, Rodak, who was great in terms of giving us a few names, but you cover this team as closely as anybody. Is there anybody that stands out to you as a perfect Patriot? He works under Saban. He takes that hard coaching. He's performed in big moments. And it's a guy that you could just picture in your mind's eye, Bill Belichick taking on draft weekend in 2022.
Yeah. There's definitely a couple guys. I mean, I'd say later in the draft, if he comes out this year and he may not come out, that's still a question because he's a fourth-year senior, potentially becoming a fifth-year senior, Slade Bolden, wide receiver. Talk about the prototypical Patriot slot wide receiver. He's probably fitting that mold and seems to be the sort of, makeup fit that might fit New England. But that's more of a later round pick. In terms of like the perfect Patriot, I'd probably put him in that category more than anybody else. Especially with Bill O'Brien having run the Alabama offense this year, it seems like there's probably an easy segue to what he might do in the NFL. But in terms of who is going to be there early, it's really two guys in the first round for Alabama that I think are surefire first round picks. And there's nobody else right now that I would call surefire. Evan Neal, the left tackle, Jameson Williams, the wide receiver. Neal being potential top three, maybe first overall pick. So that's not a player the Patriots can really get, even though it seems like there could be a need there with the way Isaiah Wynn has played and sort of the uncertainty with that position at left tackle. And another position where the Patriots certainly could use somebody is wide receiver. That's sort of explosive deep threat that you just haven't seen from the Patriots this year. And just from watching the games from down here, it seems like even the touchdown drives they have, like through the air, it seems like it's a lot of work. Like Mac is trying to make these throws to Jacoby Myers and Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. It seems like it's really hard just to get that offense going through the passing game, and they need somebody who can open it up down the field and can make some more explosive plays. Jameson's that guy. He's fast. He's been reliable for him, came in from Ohio State. As you're going to see a lot more in college, these guys flipping schools left and right, and it's kind of like free agency is what Saban's called it. So question with him is, he's probably still top 10, top 15 picks. So I don't think the Patriots could get that high. They'd have to trade up, so probably out of their range as well. So then the other guys I think would be probably more in their range, and like day two would be like a Christian Harris, an inside linebacker who was being talked about as a potential top 10, top 15 pick going into this season, has not played up to that standard, was a preseason first team all SEC pick, was not first or second team postseason. So disappointing, I would say, for him. He's a junior, so he could come back. If he comes out in draft, he's probably a second round pick. Early second round is kind of where he's at right now. But that rangy inside linebacker that I think they could use with the speed and sort of the quickness where, we've seen Bentley and Hightower kind of show some of their unathleticism, if you want to call it that, this season. So they could use somebody like that. That's kind of the Jamie Collins role, so to speak. And I think Harris would be a younger version of Jamie Collins if he does pan out. So that's another guy. I mean, Josh Jobe at corner, it seems like corner is another need. I don't know as much if he's in the makeup fit for the Patriots. He's had a few moments this year where he really gets hard on himself. He's kind of known as more of a fiery personality behind the scenes that, they don't even let him talk to us. We haven't talked to him, I don't think, in 3 years. So I don't know from a makeup standpoint if he would work. But that's, just kind of, I'd say if there is another Alabama player, I know there's kind of that run that the Patriots have had. I would say it's probably going to be more of a day two pick. And there's a couple other names too, but, we'll let you see if you want to dive.
We could go through the whole roster, I'm sure. But I have heard Harris's name. And, when you're talking about players that play in the middle of a Nick Saban defense, Bill Belichick, I would think, would probably have interest in that guy. You're right. He's a little bit undersized compared to what they usually like. Right. But maybe that's something they're looking for. I mean, they did take Cam McGrone from Michigan last year, who isn't necessarily the biggest guy either. And is thought to be a really good athlete. So,
yeah, the other inside linebacker too for Alabama is Henry To'o, who just came over from Tennessee. And he's on a smaller side too. I don't know if he's as athletic as Harris is, but he's known as kind of that instinctive player who kind of runs the defense, takes the signals from the sideline. I've seen him all over the place in terms of projected round. He's a junior too, so he still has to decide whether he wants to come out. But Matt Miller from the Draft Scout just put out his big board today. He had Toho Toho at 32, which is, I think, as high as I've seen him.
Wow.
So I've been thinking about him more in the day two, you know, second, third round range, but probably another guy to keep an eye on. Phil Mathis, I'll just throw one more out there for the listeners.
Defensive
tackle who's played really well this year. Kind of fifth year guy who blossomed late, kind of this big, probably bigger than Barmore, not maybe as explosive as a pass rusher, but got his hands on a lot of balls and, you know, stops a lot of runs in the backfield. So if they're looking for another big body up front, and I'm not as familiar with the Patriots defensive line this year, I think that might be another guy that you would be in that day two range as well.
Yeah. They could be looking in there inside, especially with Lawrence Guy, you know, kind of getting up there in terms of age, and he's closer to the end than the beginning in all likelihood. So, you know, maybe that's something that they would be looking at. Obviously Barmore has been a home run for them in the second round. I did want to go back to a position that you mentioned early, and I agree with you. I don't think this guy's going to be available when you're talking about Jameson Williams, because he's just so damn explosive, and it feels like he's going to be a top half of the first round guy. But with the Cincinnati Bengals having so much success, having drafted a guy that Joe Burrow knew and worked with and played with at the college level, and then they bring him to the NFL, and it's like they have this immediate chemistry. Is there anybody, could the Patriots pull a Bengals, Rodak? Is there anybody that Mac Jones has worked with? Because it's like, man, they need receiver help. It feels like Alabama's just pumping out receivers year after year after year. Would it be smart for them to invest in one of these guys? I don't know if they're going to get their best guy this year, Williams, right, but is there somebody else that Jones has even worked with? Because obviously he was working a lot with Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. And so those guys are gone. I know that, but is there anybody that they could bring in that he would maybe have some type of chemistry with that would be available to them?
Yeah, I think that guy is John Metchie, to be honest. I mean, I forgot his name before just because he's been hurt. He tore his ACL in the SEC championship game and didn't play against Cincinnati and Cotton Bowl, won't play in the national championship game, but he could be that guy. I mean, he was projected mid to late first round going into the season, had a very quiet first half of the year. He was still dealing with, I think it was an ankle injury off the top of my head. And then he kind of came on later in the year and not as fast as Jameson Williams, not as explosive, but, you know, just a good receiver all around. Like just one of those guys that maybe doesn't have that elite trait in a certain area, but has been good for Alabama for a couple of years now. And Mac would know him. Mac wouldn't know Jameson Williams because he came in this past offseason.
Right.
And then, you know, Slade Bolden, I think, would be the other guy as far as who Mac might know. But
so Slade Bolden, for people who might be listening, he ended up having, was it the big national championship game last year or 2 years ago?
Had a couple plays in big games. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of their slot guy, their number three guy, the last couple of years now. And, you know, undersized, 5'10", 5'11". But he's, you know, that goes over the middle, makes catches. He decided catching in Cincinnati, the first touchdown of that game in the Cotton Bowl. And he screams Patriots to me, returns punts for Alabama. So we'll have to see again. I don't know if he'll be in this draft. I think he's probably going to stay one more year, but that's still another week or two to figure all that out.
Would Metchie come out even though he's dealing with that injury?
So there's some talk that he won it. To me, like anytime, like, and I've asked GMs about this before, like anytime there's an injury for a guy coming out of the draft, unless it's like a big major, like Jalen Smith type injury, like it's not going to matter to them. Or unless it's like a string in a series of injuries, like for Tua or another guy who just had so many injuries that maybe flag him as being injury prone. If it's kind of an isolated thing and it's an ACL, if ACLs are so clear cut these days where like, you know, exactly when they're going to come back and they're going to be fine when they come back, they happen all the time. I don't see it being a factor for him. I just think overall his play this year is maybe not quite as spectacular as we thought it would be. And that's probably why he's more in the second round, but that's where the Patriots could cook a little bit. If you kind of get a guy who's maybe a little bit undervalued and you think could be better than where he goes.
Rodak, that is the perfect Patriot. Undervalued. He's injured, so nobody wants him. He does a little bit of everything. He's not necessarily the most explosive guy on the planet, but he's just a good solid all around receiver. He knows how to play the position. That to me sounds like a guy that we should be thinking more and more about. And obviously he won't be playing in this national championship game, but a good name for us to keep in mind. I do want to ask you about a couple Georgia guys, and I know you're not following them quite as closely as you follow Bama, but what's the deal with Jordan Davis, Rodak? Because this guy is all over my Twitter timeline, and it just seems like he is his own planet. I've seen him listed, I think it's 6'6", 360. That seems like it might not be high enough in terms of the weight aspect of that. I mean, just a massive, massive human. And we know Bill Belichick loves those true nose tackle types that he can just stick in the middle, two gap. And if they can move a little bit on top of that, unbelievable, tremendous. So if that's a guy that's available the second half of the first round, you know, that's somebody I could totally see the Patriots jumping on, especially because they love those defensive linemen in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, you ask Alabama fans and they would say he's not very good because he did not have a very disruptive SEC championship game. And there was all this talk about him coming into that game about being such a good player. And Alabama fans said, oh, look at this. Like, this guy's not very good, which, you know, is it a big game for him? Yeah. Could he have been better? Sure. But over the course of the season, he's been dominant. I think he won the Outland Trophy as the best interior lineman, won the Bednarik Trophy as the best defensive player. I think for the Patriots, it'd be a question of, you know, where exactly does he go? I actually saw him projected. I'm looking at Matt Miller's big board. He has him down, oh God, in the 60s overall. So like maybe a second round pick for him. And in fact, there's a lot of Georgia guys in their front seven that could go in the first two rounds. I think there's four or five of them.
60 on the big board sounds like Bill Belichick would be willing to take him 25 overall.
Yeah, it's just a question just to like
kind of zig when everybody else
investment in Barmore and made the investment in Godshaw. Like, is there too much attention being paid to that? Or maybe they have needs elsewhere. But is he a good player? Yeah, I mean, if he can get the Bednarik Award winner in the second round, that's probably not a bad thing. I do think, and I will agree with Matt Miller on this. I think there's probably Georgia players who will go before him. Trayvon Walker, you know, an edge player. N'Kobe Dean, their inside linebacker, won the Buckus Award as the best linebackers, probably more in that quick athletic mold that could be in the middle of the first round. If he drops, maybe that's a Patriots guy. I think for the Patriots, a bigger need is probably just getting speed on defense. You know, you watch what the Colts did to them with that speed in that game, man, like they were just flying around. The Patriots just don't seem like they have that sort of speed right now in defense. So maybe they could use that more than they could use a 397-pound defensive tackle, you know?
I would think so. It feels like we say that every year, Rodak, and then they take another linebacker, on day two of the draft who weighs 260 pounds. And it's like, oh, it's just another reminder. This is what they want. This is who
they're a little bit stubborn, I think, in that regard.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, they've done, obviously, you know, there've been certain years where they've done tremendously well with those types of guys. I think what they would love to do is be able to keep those guys out of situations that a lot of other linebackers are expected to perform in. So whereas linebackers across the NFL are expected to down in, down out cover backs, the Patriots don't really even want their linebackers doing that. If it's a passing game and those big guys are out there, they're usually blitzing. They're part of the pass rush in some way, and they've got a safety cover in the back. So, you know, they just do things.
They're bringing in a Duggar or Adrian Phillips, right? That's kind of their big nickel, as they might call it.
Yep. Why those guys are so valuable to them. So this is great. I love being able to talk to you, Rodak, because you understand this Patriots team so well. You understand Alabama so well. I said it last week on the podcast. I said, as long as we know this class of Alabama players, we're probably going to have like a really good idea of at least one, maybe two guys that they end up taking in the draft. So I love your pick of Slade Bolden. If he ends up declaring and he ends up coming out, you get him late, especially again, you mentioned it, the Bill O'Brien connection. So now that Alabama connection is even stronger than it was before, these guys are going to be able to speak the Patriots language, so to speak, offensively. I mean, how has that gone? That transition? I mean, is it similar enough because they had, you know, they had Brian Daboll a few years ago and they've probably been incorporating some of this stuff into their offense, you know, so actually, over the last few years, or has it been weird for them to adjust?
It's actually different. The person who has to adjust is actually Bill O'Brien, because the way Saban does it is because it's just revolving doors of coordinators. He keeps the same playbook and the same terminology. And if he hires you as a coordinator, then you're learning what he has.
Got it.
So that's kind of the Saban way. Whether it was Brian Daboll, like you said, 2017, and it was Locksley the next year, went to Maryland, and then it was Steve Sarkisian for 2 years, and now O'Brien. It was Lane Kiffin before then.
Right.
There's so many changes that he just wants to keep everything the same for the players. And so it was actually O'Brien who had to come in and learn the playbook. He learned it from Mac Jones, was one of the people who taught him when Mac was still there getting ready for the draft. That's kind of where they made their connection. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely some Patriots ties. And overall, I would say, yeah, I think O'Brien could act as a bridge between Belichick, assuming O'Brien stays, and even if he goes somewhere else, I think he would still talk to Belichick about it, but he could be that bridge. He says, yeah, I like this guy. This guy was XYZ behind the scenes. That could be valuable for the Patriots, even beyond what they already have in Saban.
You think it could be one and done for O'Brien? Like, we talk about Josh McDaniels potentially leaving. It doesn't feel like, you know, unless maybe the Chicago job opens up and he finds that he's really interested in that one. You know, it doesn't feel like he's itching to go. You know, he's got a young quarterback that he really likes working with, and it looks like they're going to be pretty good for the next few years. But if he ends up leaving, could you envision Bill O'Brien saying, thanks so much for the opportunity, Nick. I'm going to go back up to New England now. And
yeah, I could see him being Patriots offensive coordinator. I couldn't see him as much becoming a coordinator elsewhere in the NFL. And the college jobs pretty much at this point have closed up. Like, there was some speculation that O'Brien might be in on, you know, all the college jobs that opened. There are a lot of them this year. Mm-hmm. At this point, and there was a report, I think, a couple of days ago from CBS that the Jaguars might be, I think it was like Trent Baalke behind the scenes is pushing for O'Brien. So, as the next couple of weeks unfold and they get through the national championship game, maybe there's an NFL job that was kind of behind the scenes brewing. We just don't know about with him. In fact, he's talking to us Wednesday afternoon here. So I'm going to ask him about his NFL prospects, because we only get to talk to O'Brien once a year. That's Saban. He doesn't let us talk to coordinators. So it's very rare that we actually get him.
And if they don't make the national championship game, you don't get them at all. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So it's just the bowl games, really. So we did get them last week, but since they made the second week here and they made the championship game, we get to talk to them twice.
Wow. Man, huge treat.
Mind is blown. Yeah. NFL talk to coordinators every week.
That's amazing.
Saban makes his own rules. So,
hey, he does what he wants. You win that many football games down there, Rodak. You get to make your own rules too. Well, Rodak, thanks so much for spending some time with us here, man. This is great for our listeners again, who, I mean, you already said it off the top, but like, people up this way, you understand, everybody's focused on the NFL. So, you know, eventually here, our draft freaks, our draft dicks are going to start saying, okay, it's time to dive back into the college stuff, but we're just trying to give them a little taste right now. And so thank you for providing that taste, sir. Always great to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Always love checking in with Rodak. Again, the understanding of the Patriots and Bama, what both programs like, what both programs value, I think is an incredibly valuable thing for us to be able to tap into every so often. I'm sure we'll talk to Rodak again as we get closer to the draft, but make sure you're watching that national championship game and keep your eyes out. Listen, Slade Bolden, I mean, if he declares, Patriots could really use a slot receiver. Everybody jokes about the prototypical Patriots slot receiver and, you know, they look a certain way. We understand what that means, but this is a team that, in my opinion, as it's built right now, could really use that guy. If it's somebody who can get open quickly, Jacoby Myers has been very good in the slot. Do not get me wrong, but he's a little bit different type of slot than Troy Brown was, Wes Welker was, Julian Edelman was, Danny Amendola was even. He's a little longer. He's a little higher cut. And so when you're talking about who can get open in that 2 yards beyond the line of scrimmage range on third and four and hit someone with an out route and guarantee that Mac Jones is going to have a yard of separation to work with, I'm not sure they have that guy right now. So we laugh about it, but it's a legitimate comp for Rodak to bring up. It's a good name for us to keep in mind. Slade Bolden. He also played a little bit of high school quarterback. I just went back and looked at his page on Alabama. 4-star recruit, very good athlete. Got that quarterback background. He's played the Wildcat quarterback. They've got that Slade Cat package, they call it at Alabama. So definitely an interesting name for us to keep in mind. John Metchie as well. He's sort of a forgotten man because of the injury. But I think it would be great for the Patriots to be able to bring in a receiver that Mac Jones has some chemistry with already and see if they can just hit the ground running. Because to me, they still do need another threat. They've been a relatively explosive offense. We've talked about it on this podcast before. They're high in terms of their percentage of explosive plays this year, 20 yards or more through the air, but a lot of those are catch and run plays. It's not a huge vertical element to this offense right now. That's what Nelson Agholor was supposed to be. He obviously hasn't produced in a huge, huge way. So the Patriots still looking, in my opinion, for guys who can do the short area stuff, the very short area stuff in the slot, and can get down the field. Maybe it's Bolden and Metchie.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, let's hit a few mailbag questions because I'm going to write a mailbag this week for NBCSportsBoston.com. I talked about the mailbag last week. Let's just knock a few out. Shall we? We shall. Let's go. Daniel DeGrange. Let's keep it there. Are the Patriots and Cincinnati comparable? Who would win? The reason Daniel's asking this is because Cincinnati's going to bench Joe Burrow for week 18, rest some of their guys. It looks like that's the most likely matchup now for the Patriots, the Bengals. If they were to lose, Patriots end up kind of holding serve where they are, beating the Dolphins. That's the most likely one. To me, the Bengals aren't a great matchup for the Patriots because they're so explosive offensively and because the Patriots, where they are thinnest, is in the secondary, in my opinion, at corner specifically. So you're asking Jalen Mills to run snap for snap with T. Higgins, or maybe he's doubling Jamar Chase with some safety help over the top while J.C. Jackson gets T. Higgins all over the field. And then Miles Bryant has to run with Tyler Boyd, who's sort of a bigger slot. It's just a difficult, difficult matchup. Now, I would say the rest of the way across the board, it's not as difficult as some others. Cincinnati's offensive line has not been good this year. Joe Burrow has been sacked more than any quarterback in football. They're in the mid-20s in terms of their pass efficiency rating, according to Pro Football Focus. So there are some plays to be made there for the Patriots defense. And then offensively, the Bengals defense is nothing to fear either, in my opinion. And then, of course, the head coaching matchup is one that would really favor the Patriots. So if you can't keep the game in your control, if you're allowing them to get explosive early and then you're chasing points, really tough matchup for the Patriots. But I would say the Bills are a tougher matchup just because their defense is better and because the quarterback, when he's on, is really, really, really difficult to stop. I would say the Colts even might be a tougher matchup. Now, that's kind of a wonky one and an unlikely one, and they actually would probably be coming to Foxborough if those two teams met. So for all those things, you know, it's probably not a matchup we have to concern ourselves with, but to me, that running game travels, man. You know, it's going to be a who is tougher type of matchup if it ends up being the Colts. So that would sort of be a comparable matchup for me in terms of difficulty with Cincinnati. The Chiefs would be a tougher matchup. To me, the toughest matchup would be the Titans because they are tough and they're getting Derrick Henry back, it sounds like. And who knows if he's going to be himself, but I would imagine they're bringing him back already before the playoffs. He's got to be close, or they think he can get close to himself. They also have explosive weapons on the outside, so they can really test you in a variety of different ways. Their defense did a really good job against the Patriots running game when they came to Foxborough. That to me is matchup number one that you wouldn't want to see. But again, pretty unlikely that you would get them because some weird things would have to happen in terms of the seeding. They would have to lose to the Texans first and foremost. Again, that's why you play the games, all that, but very difficult team for the Patriots to have to face, whether it's early, middle, late in terms of this playoff run that we're looking at. Thank you, Daniel. Go faster through the next few here. I just think that playoff conversation is an interesting one. Matthew Madero says, I know it's early, but have you seen some slot receivers the Patriots should be eyeing in the draft? Hey, Matthew, guy named Slade Bolden. You're going to want to go back and listen to the last 20 minutes of the podcast. You're going to love it. Tua turned a ball over. I see what you did there. Says, could the Patriots get a seventh for N'Keal Harry? I would say no, probably not. I didn't think they were going to be able to get much for N'Keal Harry this past offseason. Now there's another season off his rookie deal. Unless something happens where he really shows you something down the stretch this season, I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to get anything in terms of compensation for the guy. CEO of Clay Hive, Monkey D. Mike. Thanks for checking in, Mike. Is Wilkerson getting the starting job going forward over Harry? Well, Harry really, Monkey Mike, is not a starter. I mean, their starters at receiver, depending on what package they're using, but their top three guys are Myers, Aguilar, and Bourne. So Harry was already your fourth guy and kind of your blocking specialist. They use those really heavy packages and he would block down on the end, just kind of ear hole guys, not even looking at him. And he was pretty good at that, but that's not necessarily a skill that you pay for or that you draft highly. It's a skill that somebody coming off the practice squad should be able to execute. So Wilkerson can do that. Can Wilkerson be their fourth receiver? I think he can. You know, he plays a little bit of special teams, with which N'Keal Harry really does not do. They tried him at returner. We all know how that went. So, you know, special teams value, blocking value. The issue with Wilkerson is hands. You guys probably remember if you watch the preseason closely, but, you know, one of the best throws of the summer from Mac Jones deep down the left sideline to Christian Wilkerson for a touchdown in those preseason games ends up getting dropped. We saw a drop this past week. And would have been Wilkerson's probably third touchdown of the game. So the hands are a little bit of a question, but can he block? Can he play on special teams? Yes and yes. Fourth receiver, that's a pretty good role for him, I would say. Boom, 8517 asking, Patriots need weapons. Most people are focused at receiver. I want to switch gears. Rookie quarterback affords certain luxuries. The Panthers need OL help. Patriots need weapons and a passing back. Would Isaiah Wynn for Christian McCaffrey make sense for both sides? No and no. I mean, it would make sense for the Patriots if they could somehow figure that out. Christian McCaffrey is a very good player, and I think the Patriots get the most out of him. He's making a lot of money, something the Patriots wouldn't love. And Isaiah Wynn just hasn't been very good. So while he might be an upgrade for the Panthers because that offensive line has been terrible, that's not a deal you want to make. You'd also be paying Isaiah Wynn about $10 million. He's going to be on his fifth-year option, and then he's going to be hitting free agency. So there's no way the Panthers are doing that. Sorry, Boom. Will the Patriots stop the slants to a hit on them in week one? Lawrence D wants to know. All the Dolphins do these days is RPO, 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 RPO. So the Patriots are going to rep it and rep it and rep it in practice. If they're not ready for the slants, they weren't practicing the right things. I don't think that's going to be the case. They're going to be working a lot on those types of plays. And if they can't stop them, this is going to be a tough matchup. In Miami, we know it's a tough place for them to play. It's going to be warm. But that's one thing that they should be hammering this week. And I would be very surprised if they weren't ready for those RPOs, because it's all they're doing right now. It's wild down there with Tua. I hope I get this right. I'm going to say it's Trygve. Trygve. Our buddy from Oslo, thanks for checking in. As always, he says, after the performance by Wilkerson, have we seen the last of N'Keal Harry as a Patriot? I don't know if we've seen the last of him, because I wouldn't totally rule out that they would bring him back to play in that fourth receiver role to make those blocks. I mean, as of right now, Harry's on the roster and Wilkerson's not. He was, you know, demoted, quote unquote, not really demoted, but he reverted to the practice squad after the game against the Jaguars. So I wouldn't totally rule out that Harry's done. But to me, if you're looking at it one for one, they should be playing Wilkerson over Harry. And it's really not close, in my opinion. Again, especially because, not just because Wilkerson had a good game against a really bad team in Jacksonville, but because he gives you some value in the kicking game. That's what the Patriots, you know, for players like that, a fourth receiver, that matters to them. So if he can give them some depth there and they like it and they think he's a capable player in the kicking game, he should be playing over N'Keal Harry. It's pretty easy to me. Rick Ricciardi, thanks for checking in, Rick. He says, after his two TD showing, give me a realistic good comp for who you think Wilkerson could be, either league-wide or former Pat. I did look at this one just a little bit earlier. Wilkerson's a great athlete. You know, he had a relative athletic score. If you guys follow MathBomb on Twitter, at MathBomb, does a great job year after year after year scoring players at all positions and ranking their athletic abilities. He gives what he calls a relative athletic score, RAS. And Wilkerson had a 9.82. That is very, very good. 39.5-inch vertical, over 10-foot broad, really good three-cone drill, 6.68. No surprise the Patriots ended up with that guy. So when you look at that and you look at his height and weight, 6'1", 200 pounds, coming out of Southeast Missouri State a few years ago, you know, that's somebody who athletically is pretty special. So is there a great comp? The comp that I'm thinking of, because this guy was more of an outside receiver, they're about the same size. And, you know, I think if Wilkerson's hands get shored up, maybe, you know, in a year or two, this is the kind of player you're talking about. But Chris Hogan is the name that popped up to me. Hogan was very sure-handed and he understood this offense. He was tough. He played special teams. That's the kind of role I think you would be hoping, you know, pie in the sky, you're hoping Wilkerson can turn into. I wouldn't totally rule it out. Again, right now, he's just your fourth receiver. We shouldn't be going crazy over what he did against the Jaguars, and he's still on the practice squad. But that's sort of how Chris Hogan started. That's how a lot of these guys start. Danny Amendola, he did his time on practice squads. We know what Julian Edelman's journey was. I'm not saying he's going to turn into any of these guys, but I am saying we shouldn't rule out the fact that he might turn into something a year or 2 years from now, because he's a really good athlete. He seems to be working really hard. Josh McDaniels is talking him up and is meeting with us in the media this week. That's a nice way to start a career, is to be a hard worker and a good athlete in a team or in a program like New England's, where they're going to give you opportunities if you earn them. And it sounds like he's earned them. And he almost made the absolute most of his opportunities in that game against Jacksonville. The only reason I say he didn't quite get there is because he did have that drop deep down the field. I thought he had another drop a little bit earlier in the game, but man, really good performance, especially filling in for a guy who has not made the most of his opportunities in N'Keal Harry. For those of us, you know, who are interested in the team building stuff, just goes to show he's been a first round pick on a guy, can give you absolutely nothing. On the other side of it, you can get an undrafted guy who's bounced around a little bit as a young player, and maybe he turns into something, or maybe he at least gives you a little bit more hope than the first round guy did. It just tells you what a crapshoot this whole thing is. All right, guys, that's it for Next Pats. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks to Mike Rodak for giving us a little bit of a preview of the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. We are going to finish the year strong here on Next Pats. We're going to have a great guest for you again next week. Until then, enjoy the games, enjoy the season finale for the Patriots, enjoy the national championship game, and we'll talk to you next week.